Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to do our best to read verses 19 through 21 and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness and grace and your mercy. I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for your tender mercies. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, When Someone Hurts You. When someone hurts you. Are we there at Romans? Let's read together verse 19 through 21. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Go ahead. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of his word. You may be seated. Saints, back in the day, I'm going to say the BC years, we used to take care of biz when someone done you wrong. Man, back in the day, we used to go looking for folks, and take vengeance. We would find them and say, how dare you, and then pounce on them. But when you become saved and your heart is settled before God and you've been cleansed by God, one of the most difficult emotions to deal with in the body of Christ is when another believer hurts you. Where do you go from there? What happens then? Are you like the world? Will you take things in your own hands? Will you cut and run? Will you just no longer be part of their life? What do you do? Well, David had the ultimate opportunity to kill his enemy, King Saul. But David realized that even though King Saul was filled with envy, jealousy, strife, rage, false accusations, lies, and anger, and even hostility, David came to a place in his heart that he was not to touch what God anointed. Let's look at this story here. And for 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 7. It says, now it happened when Saul had returned from fighting the Philistines, and that he was told to saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Saul was trying to kill King David. Why? Because he was jealous of the anointing of God. And let me just say this. When you're truly anointed by God, the enemy will try to find cracks in your armor. He will come against you. And he'll come in different forms and factions of life. It'll come out of nowhere, and you didn't even see it coming. Because guess what? The devil is a sucker puncher. He don't tell you he's coming. He walks right up to you and tags you. So then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all of Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went to attend his needs, and David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Verse 4. Then the men of David said to him, hey, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand. They you may do to him as it seems good to you. Listen, if someone was trying to kill you, the culture of this world is, I got to kill him before he gets to me. Can I get amen? And so, and David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. In other words, he crept into the cave. He could have put a dagger in his throat and it was over. Because he crept into that cave and there was his enemy right in front of him, ready to destroy his enemy. And he wouldn't have to worry about this man chasing him anymore. What he did, though, is he cut a piece of his robe. Let's read the rest of this story. And David rose secretly, cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe, even just to take that little piece of robe. You know what God was saying? Yeah, you cut his robe, but in your heart, you killed him. Verse 6. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants in these words and did not follow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. Later on, we read in the story that because King David, well, he wasn't king at the time, but when he let it go, he gave it to God. He said, Lord, I'm not going to do this thing. I'm going to trust in you. By doing so, God, as we read in the book of Romans, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And eventually Saul and his son fell on their own sword in battle. Because that was God who wanted to take him out, not King David. You have to understand in life, there are things that you cannot do, especially when someone hurts and harms you, especially in the body of Christ. So, my question is this: how do you handle and get a grip on types of negative feelings and emotions when they happen? What do you do? Now, I came up with some extreme circumstances. And God forbid any of these were to ever happen to any one of us. But things do happen. Can I get amen? They do happen. Look at number one. Some drunk driver has just killed your son or your spouse. What do you do? What do you do on something like that? Wow, that's pretty harsh, huh? You can't even fathom that thought. Number two. Someone has just abducted and killed your daughter or son. We see this all the time. Huh? The Uber driver that picked up that one girl. And no longer is she here today. That's a real thing that happens. Just imagine the parents, what they're going through right now. Just imagine what the turmoil in their heart. I don't know if they're believers or not. But say they're unsaved, your heart is going to be filled with torment. Number three, your husband has been physically abusing you for years in your marriage. There's some men that will chew out their wife like if a dog had mange. Oh, you never heard of that, have you? And vice versa. There's some sisters that are meaner than a junkyard dog. Amen. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. And there's a man there, and he wears pants, but she tells him what color. Number four. Some scam artist just stolen all of your life savings. Oh, that's really horrid, huh? Whoa! My goodness. Here's another scenario. You just found out that your spouse has been cheating on you. Cheetah! You a cheetah! Oh, yeah. I think there's a show called Cheaters, isn't there? But here's one that happens more times than others. This next one in the church. Someone slanders you and your family and tries to destroy your character. Wow. Saints, all the above scenarios are torpedo shots that can knock anyone straight to the ground. How you and I handle these types of adversities and how we bounce back from them all will determine the quality of our lives with what time still we have left on earth. If you do not get a grip on these negative emotions when they start to try and settle on the inside of you as a result of a vicious wrong situations that arise in our life, then these negative emotions will start to eat you up alive, no differently like cancer will. And it'll ravage the human body. These negative emotions will steal most, if not all, your joy, your love, and peace that you have obtained as a result of your close walk with the Lord. No matter how close you are with the Lord, one of these things were to happen, man, it will stumble you if you don't know where to go with it. Some Christians will even lose their faith or their close personal relationship with Jesus as a result of taking this kind of serious hit. Will run and run and run. And that's the last place we want to find ourselves. Look what happens when these things take place in one's life. Number one, they get mad at God. Why did you allow it to happen? They start getting angry at God. God didn't do anything. You have to understand, we are very sinful. He came to save us from our sin. Can I get amen? That's why he died for us. He died so that we can be set free. Then some folks will start questioning God. Why? Why me? My question is this: why not you? It happens to the best of us. Number three, how could he allow this wrong to occur? And then we question and ask God this: why didn't he protect them? So, saints, the first thing that each Christian must get a solid grip on when being seriously wronged by someone else in this life is that the person who has viciously wronged you will have to come before God Almighty himself for a personal judgment once they die and cross over. Amen. Because you know God's word, you got to know that if they truly assaulted you, they're going to deal with God. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but they will see him face to face. Saints, if another person has seriously wronged you and they do not get this sin forgiven under the blood of Jesus before they die and cross over, they will have to face God's judgment for the specific wrong they have done to you. This is why you can't let evil go into the hands of God. This is why there's something that we can do as those who have been offended. There's something we can do to help them. Can I get amen? Because even though they did something so wrong, they still need to be set free. When everything is finally said and done, God will be the final judge on all the matters. And he'll be the one to right all the wrongs that have been done to you, that have been done to me, whether it be from another Christian or even a non-believer. Look at God's word. It says this. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Saints, it is God's job and responsibility to right all the wrongs ever done to us in this lifetime, because it's not our job to do so. God will be getting even for you. This is why each Christian can truly let any wrongs go into the hands of God the Father. You have to believe that God will properly handle each of the wrongs that have ever been done against you in this life. And so while God rights all the wrongs in people's lives, this is what you and I must do. Now we're going to, I hope you're ready to write down some scriptures, because only God can set us free. I can give you advice. I can share things of my own life. Ultimately, the only thing that'll set you free is the Word of God. Can I get amen? Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. And you must take it as face value. This is what God is saying to me. So number one, seek God's counsel. Seek God's counsel. When you are severely hurt and damaged, slandered and talked about, you need to seek God's counsel first and foremost. Look what Proverbs says. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Listen, there's victory in the midst of turmoil. But you got to know where to go to win the battle. You got to remember the battle's not yours, so God will fight the battle. But you have to seek him first. Look what else it says. By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom. Wisdom is key. Look at Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So you instruct someone, seek God, pray. You don't know what they did. You don't know what I feel. No, but God does. God knows. And God knows how to fix it. Can I get amen? Look what else it says right up here. You guide me with your counsel, and after you will receive me to glory. Why? Because we sought the Lord. We sought the Lord. How many of you have truly sought the Lord when things don't go your way? When you've been afflicted, when you've been accused, when you've been slandered, when someone's lied about you. Okay. God will receive me in glory. Look at Chronicles says right here. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Seek him. Be in his presence. Don't go home and wallow, woe is me, woe is me. You know why? 50 more woes will come upon you. The enemy will see that and try to take you out. Oh, man, this is a hurt little lamb. This lamb has lost a leg, and now we're going to go in and take the rest of the legs out. Can I get amen? So, we seek counsel. But as you're seeking counsel, this is what you ultimately want to seek. You need to seek God's wisdom. God's wisdom. Look what James says. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Praise God. Proverbs 1:7, look, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, I got this, Pastor. Oh, I got this, God. I want to go just go do it my way. I'd rather have a Burger King life, having it my way. And you find yourself being self-destructed. Why? Because you rejected the counsel of God. You can't go there. God is shielding us from these things through his word. Hallelujah. That's right. It's not about, oh man, I'm spiritual, I speak in tongues. Yeah, there's people that speak in tongues and won't speak to one another. Can I get an amen? Amen. You get bleepity blap, 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 blap. Oh, here comes that one. He was speaking nonsense. It was nothing but jabber, jibber jabber. Look at this. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. Come knowledge and understanding. God spoke it from heaven to equip the saints, to help us grow, so that when we find ourselves in a jam and in a pickle, we can get out of it. God will set us free. Look what else it says here. But wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I know someone's hopefully receiving this morning. Amen? Look what Romans says. Romans says this. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable his ways. In other words, his ways are better than ours. His ways are better than ours. Your vengeance is not of God. It's from old Slewfoot. That's right. And then once you sought counsel and wisdom, now you need to seek this. These are all come together to see us through when we get harmed and injured emotionally. Seek humility that only comes from God. Or do you just want to get in that person's grill? What up? I heard you say that. Say that again, and I'll knock you out. Is that what we do now? Huh? Do we still roll in our BC days? Or do we humble ourselves at the cross? Can we be like Jesus, who said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Listen, he was beaten. Josephus, one of the historians that were there during the time of the apostles, he wrote down that he was like hamburger meat up there. He was naked. He didn't have a terry cloth like we see in the movies. You couldn't tell his gender anymore. That's how badly he was beaten. And yet, before he gave up his spirit, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you find a place in your heart for those who have wronged you no differently? Can you honestly say, I'm walking Christ-like? Can you truly say, I have forgiven them, and now my goal is to help restore them back to me? If someone has walked out and cannot even be with you, you know what your job is to go search them out and restore them to you, because you need to set them free. It's not about you no more. It's about how can I be a minister of reconciliation, the Bible says we're supposed to be. We just don't want to deal with it, huh? I'm not dealing with that. I've had people say, oh no, I don't want to bring nothing to the table. No, blah, 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 blah. Wow. You got a question. Are these folks saved? You got to seek humility. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. But he gives more grace, therefore says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's not about you no more. It's not about me no more. It's about God. And if you're walking in a spirit of humility, you will go to the one that has offended you. And you know what? I'd rather take this road.
forgive me. If I have wronged you, forgive me.
That'll go a lot further than, what up? Come on, I'm just keeping it real. Look at that. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor in life. You want to be blessed? Even those that have wronged you, you got to go to them. You can't just cut them off. Well, man, you know what? There's just some more folks that I'm just not going to talk to anymore. And you take that attitude wherever you go. And it's never resolved, because guess what? You will learn to how that person will turn on you too. Because you haven't learned how to resolve that issue. You're not going to hear this in a 20-minute sermon. This has to be taught to us. Can I get amen? The Word of God has to speak to you. God can only make this come alive unto you. My goodness. Look what Philippians says. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Even when they've wronged you, you know what? That's okay. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Is this coming across with someone? The prophet told me someone was going to get set free. Look what Jesus wrote in Luke. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We exalted our sister today. She didn't know. She's been walking in humility. And we praise God for her servanthood and singing on the worship team, Sister Gianna. So God today exalted her. Because she stayed humble. That's how God works. Can I get amen? She wasn't looking for, well, you know, man, look out. I'm the girl. Well, I don't have hair to do that no more, but. Saints, when these things take place, I met what someone, I'm not going to say who the person is, but there was an issue stirring. And that person said this to me. It was a conjunction to this. Don't lose your faith. That person was so lifted up in anger and pride. I'm losing my faith. That's because you're listening to the devil. The devil has lifted your heart in pride. That's not God. Look what 1 Corinthians 16:13 says. Be watchful and stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong. Come on, man. There's some folks, man, losing my faith. Keep on walking. You might find it in China. I don't know. Keep walking. Listen what God's word says by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. God gave us faith as a gift. So in other words, what you're telling me, here, I'm giving it back to you, and then I don't want to see it no more. Wow.
That's because a root of bitterness has taken place.
My. But look what Jesus said, and the Apostle John, he said, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our what?
Faith.
It's not for us to lose, but it's for us to keep and to adhere to and to embrace. You want to embrace God's faith that he has given us. He has given every man and woman a measure of faith. So, man, you must embrace it.
Oh, I lost my faith.
Well, go back and pick it up and then keep on going. It's right there in front of you. Can I get an amen? Yes, even the preacher knows. Even the preacher knows. Look at this. So faith comes what? From hearing. And hearing through the word of God. You know what? There are some folks, they will protest against that person and won't even be in church no more. Thinking that it's hurting everyone else. No, you're hurting yourself. You're robbing yourself of hearing God's word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Thank you, God. This ain't the mailman up here giving his own opinion. He's just passing out the mail. Can I get amen? I'm just a messenger. Thank you, God. Look what Mark says. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. It's God doing that mighty work in our life. Can I get amen? And listen. Even when things go wrong, did you know that all things work together for good? Can I get amen? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose, not your purpose. Your purpose will tear it all up. You'll cut out your own path somewhere. And move big old giant boulders out of the way and bricks. And then all of a sudden, you have to go down a cliff. And then you got to cross a river. You know, that's your path. God's path, he has paved it out. Walk with him. Walk in his glory. Can I get amen? Walk with God. So, once again, if you think faith is not important, and it's something that I just want to lose because I'm angered. Look at this. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you could go on with your hussy self. Go on with your silly self. Because guess what? You don't have no more faith and you don't please God no more. Can I get amen? For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You want to seek to be reconciled. You want to seek to forgive. You want to seek to make it right. Can I get amen? You're not seeking him to say, Lord, destroy them. That's showing iniquity in your heart. And he will not hear you. Look at this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So you got to vision this, okay? That person says this, and that. But I'm seeing it your way, God. I'm seeing me. We're both hugging each other, praying for one another. The wrongs that were said is now under the blood. That's how Christians deal with it now. But if you still want to be part of the culture of the world, why even open up your Bible? You see, when you start truly reading the Word of God, that's what keeps you from sin.
But when you do this, thou will keep you in sin. You need to read God's word so that you won't be part of this sinful nature. You know, this is the only book in the entire world that depicts humanity. It picks it apart and it lets us see who we really are. Man can't write this about man. It took a supernatural God to point out who we really are. Yes. We're wretched and blind, and we need a Savior.
Yes, we do.
We need a Savior. How many believe we need a Savior?
Yes.
We need Jesus. Can I get amen?
Yes.
That's why he came,
yes,
to save us from ourselves.
Yes.
My goodness. Then we need to seek God's forgiveness. Oh, God, even when they've done wrong to you, go to God, say, God, forgive me. There might, I'm saying, when I say might, usually there is something that we've done to them to stir that up. No matter what is being said now in return, you go back and ask for forgiveness despite of yourself. Can I get amen? Look, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us the key for when people hurt you deeply and you start to develop hatred and rage toward the offender. You can go to God and you can have your heart healed. Did you know that? Let's look what Jesus said. Let's take a moment here. Let's look what Jesus said. How many of you would rather believe Jesus than this loudmouth preacher right now? I'd rather believe Jesus. Come on, I'd rather believe Jesus. Oh, well, let's read what Jesus says. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Look at that. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Man, God's saying a whole lot right there. There's nothing that someone has said or done to you that you could not go and make it right with them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No, but we want to be in like that fight last night. Let me see if I can knock them out. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away from your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. So listen, if you want love coming back from someone, give them love. But if you're going to walk around doing stuff unrepented, well, guess what? You're looking for a fight now. Can I get amen? See, these things that we're talking about this morning, it's about the issues of the heart. We wrestle with this heart every day. Wrestle with it. When you find yourself just restless because of circumstances in your life, you got to go to God. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. I've seen sinners' lives thinking that, man, if only they were Christians, because some of them live a wonderful life not knowing Christ. They respect one another. They'll live all the way together, I mean, in marriage, until their elder ages, and not even know who God is. And yet they knew how to keep each other. Hallelujah. For even sinners love those who love them. Look at this. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that for you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. God is teaching us something here. But love your enemies. Say that with me. Love your enemies.
Some of you are closing your eyes. Yeah, I love your enemies. And all you see is a punch right at their mug. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. I'm hoping today someone truly goes and gets it right with someone and does it quickly. God is saying do it quickly before cancer starts growing in their heart. Don't procrastinate here. This word came with authority. God wants us as children of God to be at peace with all people. Even when they don't want to have nothing to do with you. Go get it right. Get it right. Why? Because He's merciful. God had mercy on you, didn't He? Did He let you wallow in your sin and die and go to hell? Or did He save us? All right. Then go and rescue someone that hates you. Go rescue them. Look at Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know how some Christians handle that? Oh, I forgive them. Yeah, I forgive them. I don't want nothing to do with them. Oh, but I've forgiven them. No, you haven't. Because they still feel the same way about you. And they will avoid being with you. Oh, come on. God sees it all. He records everything. I don't want to stand before God if someone hates me and I don't go get it right with them. I got some word to back that up. Can I get an amen? I know this is a tough message, but guess what? Sometimes we need to be toughed up. I'm not going to give you a fruity Fruit Loop sermon. Oh. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Take that one. Take two of those and then call me in the morning. You know how the doctor gives you, take these two pills and call me in the morning. Read this a couple of times. But you don't know, Pastor. You don't know. No, yeah, God knows. That's all that matters. That God knows. You see, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from. All, not some. I thought I heard some. All. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. But look what Jesus said here. Take heed. If your brother sins against you, you rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And then Peter asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? 70 times seven. So when you do the math, that means, in a nutshell, there's no one in this earth that could commit a million sins against you in one day. And yet if he does, you still have to forgive that. What? Yep. Bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. In closing, as we come in for a close,
Our last point is this. As you go through this, as you're processing this in your heart, as God is dealing with you on these matters, because these are very important matters to God. It's not about your status. It's not about racially profiling you. No. This is about the issues of the heart. Our last point is this. Keep pressing forward to God's call in your life. God has called many of you. Keep pressing. Even when someone hurts you and wrongs you, you got to get it right. And let's just say it's not even your fault. So what? I'd rather have my brother and my sister restored to me. That's more precious than fine gold. That I can be in harmony with them. That I can still love them. And knowing that they can still love me. And God can make a beautiful thing out of ashes. Beauty for ashes. Paul said it best in Philippians. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press. Paul was thrown out of a building. He was bit by snakes. He was beaten by his own countrymen with rods of steel. He was in prison, and all the epistles he wrote to you and I were in prison, tied up to someone. They didn't have running amenities. They didn't have big screen TVs, and they didn't have showers and tubs and toilets. No, they defecated on themselves, tied up with rat-infested prisons. And yet, he still wrote to us. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. God has laid hold of you, and he doesn't want to let you go. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. God has a glorious future for the saints of God. But before we can get to that place, God is saying, deal with the issues now. Work them out. Work out your salvation with great fear and trembling. Know that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Look what it says right here. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. So God is saying, man, come on, quit drinking milk now. Let's get to the meat now. Let's go deeper with him. Be in his word. Be in Bible study. When the doors say open, run into the house of God and grow in the grace. Be mature now. We can't be kids no more. Have this in mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And you know what that same mind is? The mind of Christ. Being a true believer. You know what a true believer is? Someone that wakes up every morning and starts to die to self. And is looking for his return. And is always being right with relationships. How many of you wake up knowing that, man, there's someone that really hates me? And there are people that truly hate you. But you have a responsibility to win them. That your relationship with them. See, let me just say this. I want you to look at the illustration here. When you get those things right, then you can get your attitude right with God. But if you're holding things against, this is the cross. When you're holding things away from God and you're not getting them right, how can you then expect God to hear you? But when you're at peace with all men, man, that's when the anointing, that's when the love of God, the grace of God is upon your life. And you'll be walking in the beauty of holiness. Because God has dealt with your heart. And you're not holding anyone against the mindset of God. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. We serve a loving God. I close with these scriptures and then we'll pray. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin. There's some things we got to let go. Just cut. We got to let go. What do we have to let go? Unforgiveness. We got to let go resentment. We got to let go anger. You know, we think it's the big sins, the drinking and the porno addiction, all that. No, you know where it starts? It's the issues that are right here in the heart. What happens is when you haven't dealt with the issues of the heart, then your flesh starts looking for other ways to satisfy its hunger. Lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Say that with me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You mean people hated him and mocked him and beat him? He bled for us. He died for us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I'm praying that today you will leave with this place with a sense of hope. You've been given enough word today, enough ammunition today, to get those things that are outside of this church and to get right with those in your family, those on the job, those in your sphere of influence. Get them right. God is saying, do it quickly. You know why? Because he's coming soon. He's coming soon. And I look at it like this. I don't want to be caught with my hand in the cookie jar. He's here. God is saying, get it right. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Give him a shout of praise. Give him a shout of glory. Come on, tell Jesus you love him. Tell God how much you love him. Oh, come on. Give him praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you, God. Now I can have a lively hope in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand. I know there's some of you right now. If you could just come to this altar, we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Be led to come down here by the Spirit of God. Let God do something radical in your heart. Hallelujah. Come on, there's no shame in this. There is no shame in this. Come down.
you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.